In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In life, there's a need for repetition. We know that when we're in school, right? If we study a subject beginning from the first days of the semester, then by the time exams have arrived, we know that subject well, as opposed to just cramming in the last couple of days, where we might be able to pass the exam, but we really don't retain a lot of material. The same is true, obviously, with studying a musical instrument or anything else we want to learn in life. Some people say that in the course of a conversation, if you use somebody's name three times in the first minute, that can be a bit obnoxious if you do it, but they say that if you do that, you'll remember that person's name. And everyone who's been involved with marketing of any kind knows that you have to keep contacting and reminding people in order for that to be successful. Repetition is so important. Well, repetition, I would submit repetition is a godly thing. And by way of illustrating that and also giving us an opportunity to understand this morning's rather baffling epistle reading, let's look at that epistle reading very quickly, at least part of it. Brethren, when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore to himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently endured, obtained the promise. Men indeed swear by a greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he interposed with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible that God should prove false, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. The hope set before us is that we are the children of Abraham. We are the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. But the whole point of the author of Hebrews here is this, is that God didn't just say something to Abraham once, he said it twice. Actually, he said it more than twice. And the second time, he swore with an oath. So this is for real. That's what the author of Hebrews is saying there. And exactly where did that happen? Well, in Genesis 17:5, we read these words. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. That's Genesis 17:5, and then later on, Genesis 22:16. After the episode with Abraham and Isaac, we read this. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I indeed will bless you and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your descendants shall all the nations of the earth bless themselves because you have obeyed my voice. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord. So, repetition is a godly thing. God repeats himself. We know that in the New Testament, repetition proves to be a godly thing as well. Jesus does not just heal the person in this morning's gospel reading, he does lots of healings. Jesus just doesn't teach once, he teaches in various places and says lots of things. God knows how important repetition is for all of us. And in a way, repetition of certain key things is really the kernel of this morning's sermon. Now, let me say before I proceed that I have tested this theory of repetition over and over again, and it works. We are going through right now a resurgence with our teen group, with our Goya group, and I am convinced that a big part of it is the fact that I bombard them and their parents with emails, and people just need to be reminded. So I am not ashamed or embarrassed to remind people of things they've heard before. So here are some things that I have shared with you before that you've heard before, I'm certain, from other priests and in other sermons. Great Lent, we find ourselves now on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent. We are over halfway through. Great Lent is the time par excellence for spiritual renewal. That's a fact, and we know that, right? And the church, in her wisdom, has laid out this journey for us. And we're reminded, even in this morning's gospel reading, of the importance of prayer and fasting. It says right there, Jesus says, this kind can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. So here are some things to think about as we consider this business of spiritual renewal, of prayer and fasting, of being in the middle of Great Lent. If right now, if you're sitting in church listening to the words of this sermon, and you've been keeping the fast to the best of your ability, you've been praying more, you've been coming to the Lenten services, my admonition is this: run the race till the end. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's easy to kind of cheat right towards the end, but don't. It's good practice for our life to run the race all the way to the finish, because that's what we're supposed to do in our earthly lives, right? We don't want to run a good life as Christians and then towards the end have things kind of fall away. So it's good practice. Run the race to the end if you've been doing all these things. If you're listening to this sermon, maybe say, no, I really haven't been fasting this Great Lent. Well, you know what? Go home and take a look at your fridge and know that Holy Week starts in about 2 weeks. And plan emptying out your fridge so that you can at least fast during Holy Week. You've got 2 weeks to get your food in order to do that, and you won't regret it. If you're listening to this sermon and you know that you really have not been coming to a lot of Lenten services, maybe none of them, you can change that. Just start coming. You don't have to prepare for anything. We will do all, we'll turn on the lights for you, turn on the heat if it's needed. We will read the prayers, do the chanting. You just need to come and participate through your prayers. And if it's a service that offers communion, obviously receive communion. It's an analog, if you will, for our relationship with God, right? He's done all the heavy lifting for us. He is the one who took on flesh and was crucified for our salvation and who rose from the dead. He's done all the heavy lifting. We just have to comply with his will. In the same way, all we really have to do is just show up here at church, and we will take care of the rest with regard to the services. Now, there's something very, very specific that all of us can do this Great Lent, if we are committed to this idea of spiritual renewal. And it's this Saturday, we have arranged for a retreat. It's a wonderful thing to be able to go on a retreat or go to a retreat during Great Lent, but how even more wonderful is it when you can have it right at your own parish? You don't have to drive a distance. Just come here. Just come here at 10 o'clock, and there's plenty of parking. We couldn't make it easier for you. And the program is being prepared and presented by somebody who goes around and does programs for a living. So again, there's nothing any of us have to do except to show up. We'll even make sure that there's Lenten food as appropriate for lunch. And retreats are so important. Why? Because it gets us out of our routine. Think about your typical Saturday, at least my typical Saturday on those rare Saturdays I don't have to work. Well, it might be the day for doing laundry and cleaning around the house and catching up on this and that and whatever else. And how nice it is to detour ourselves from all of these worldly distractions, as important as they might be, to change the focus of the eyes of our heart away from worldly things to spiritual things for just a little bit. Retreats get us out of that normal day-to-day routine. Retreats compel us to think about godly things, to think about beautiful things. And when Nathan comes this Saturday to be with us, you can be guaranteed you're going to be listening to an inspiring story, because he is a man who in his own life has endured hardship. And he's worked alongside Archbishop Anastasios in Albania to help to rebuild the Orthodox Church there. It's a poor country, a country where orthodoxy is the minority, a country that has to deal with a religion that can sometimes be hostile towards Christianity. So he knows exactly what it means to have to preach the gospel in a hostile environment, to have to rebuild a church, to have to think about how it is one one does church in a unique setting. It's one thing to be able to be Orthodox in an Orthodox country. It's an entirely other thing to have to be Orthodox and grow the church and minister to people in a country where you are a minority and have to walk a very narrow line culturally. And so that's why when he talks to us about what he's been doing in Albania all these years, that's why it'll be very appropriate for him to talk to us about how it is we spread the faith here in America, because we ourselves know that as we live here in the Bay Area, the most unchurched region of the United States, that we live in an area where you Christians have to walk a very careful line culturally so that we can share the gospel without putting people off. This is an area that needs the gospel, but an area where we need to preach the gospel in creative ways, where we just can't do what's always been done. So Nathan's message will be doubly interesting and important for us. And you see, when you come to a retreat like we will hope we will do this Saturday, it's just one more way of repeating that admonition to pray and to fast, because a retreat is a prayer of sorts, and unplugging ourselves from our daily routine is certainly a form of fasting. So think about this. God made a promise to Abraham. He did it, but then he did it again. Actually, he did it four different times, but the last time he did it, he made an oath to Abraham. So according to God, repetition is a good thing, something that he does. Jesus performed multiple healings during his earthly ministry. Why? To remind us that he can heal each one of us, you and me. And so I would remind everybody here this morning that Great Lent is, again, that time of year for us to what? To be transformed in the renewing of our mind, as it says in Romans. There is still time between now and Pascha. There's still time between now and Pascha to reorganize our eating. Plenty of opportunities for us to come here together and to worship in addition to Sunday morning. And this Saturday we have the perfect opportunity, the perfect Lenten opportunity for us to do something to radically refocus our lives, and that's come to a retreat here from 10 to 3. I'll say it just one more time, because repetition is a godly endeavor. Pascha is April 16th. And there is still time for each one of us to experience the power of prayer and fasting.